Velkommen til Bæk bag bolden. I dag en samtale på engelsk, because today we'll talk in English since we have a very international guest. I'm very happy to invite you, Albert Capellas. Please welcome to the Bæk bag bolden podcast.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And you are a great expert of football. I know I have to say so because I don't expect you to say, but I know you're a great expert of football. Right now, we are lucky to have you in Danish football again. You had your experience with Brøndby, and just to make sure everybody knows the relation we might have, we work together. And as we just discussed before we started recording, I actually fired you. It's more or less, yeah, I'd say I had to admit I fired you, not because of your qualities, but because of a lot of situations at that time. Luckily, you had a very big career before and after, and now you are head coach of the Danish under 21 national team, which is already doing so well, and yeah, you didn't lose a game yet. So, Albert, your experience, I'll try to say what I know about your experience, and then I'll ask you about details in that experience. You're not Spanish. People think you're Spanish, but I know you are from Barcelona, not from Spain, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And you, yeah, a Catalan, of course. Yes, you take Catalan, yeah. And you work with the big club Barcelona, assistant manager or coach for the Barcelona B, and then for 7 years, is that true?
Yes.
The manager of the Messiah, the academy?
I was the youth coordinator of La Masia and the head of methodology.
Yeah. And that is actually one of the big chunks of discussion I'd like to have with you in a few seconds, because you worked with some very interesting players and some very interesting coaches, players well known to everybody in the football world by now. But just to finish the resume as I know it, then you went abroad, you went to Holland, you worked in Holland as an assistant coach, and you work with some of the best coach. I don't know if the best, I think they are, but you know them better. Some of the more famous and biggest coaches in Dutch football: John van der Brom, Peter Bosch, Fred Rutten, and of course your fellow countryman Albert Ferrer, or Ferrer, how would you say his name?
Chappie Ferrer.
The Chappie. Ah, okay. Chappie. I should have known better. Big star of the 90s Barcelona team, right defender, correct?
Yes.
From Holland, you went to Denmark, as we already talked about, in Brøndby, and then you worked in Israel, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and then to one of the biggest clubs in European football, Borussia Dortmund, again assisting Peter Bosch. And then you went to China. I would ask you about all this later, but first of all, your experiences in the academy in Barcelona. A lot of inspiration has gone to Danish football from Barcelona and from Spanish football or Catalan football. Can you tell me a little bit about your role and what your daily life as the head of the department in Barcelona would be?
No, it was a very nice period, because in that period we had a very stable situation in the club with the first team and also with the academy. We were having a lot of success, and that it helps a lot when you have to work in a big club. For example, now it's much more difficult because there are a lot of turbulences in the club. Mm-hmm. What I can remember of that period, that was 7 years as a head of methodology, was that everybody was rowing in the same way. That mm-hmm. we had a very clear idea how we want to train, how we want to play, how we want to scout, and which kind of people have to work inside of the club, which kind of qualities should have all of them. Because the most important, we always say, nobody is the most important, but everybody is necessary. And that is what we tried to build in that period, that everybody feels important, everybody can say the word in the way that they thinks, but at the end, everybody were really aligned with the vision and the mission, and the mission that we should, the way that we should work in the academy. And we were very lucky because there was, of course, Fran Rijkaard and then Guardiola, that were coaches that they had a lot of trust with the players from the youth academy, and they were really brave, and they had really the courage to give to the youngsters the opportunity to play in the new camp, in the first team. And that is why we had a fantastic time, because we really could feel in that moment that all the good players, if they really deserve it, because of course you have to deserve it with your qualities, with your talent, with your behavior, if they really deserve it, they will get the chance to play in the first team of Barcelona. And this is something that it didn't happen in the last years in Barcelona, that the players from the youth academy, they lost that hope. Okay.
But help me a little bit here, Albert. How would you make any young players, 16, 17 and 18, some of the players that had their debut at that time were no older than 16, 17 and 18. How will you make them ready to play for what would have been the best team in the world at that time? How can anybody be ready for that? What did you do? What did you need to bring them?
First, we always say in football, everybody's talking about developing players. Eh? Mm. And we have this phrase inside of the academy, we don't have to develop them. They are really top. If we don't make them worse, we did a fantastic job.
Oh.
And that is something that we say, listen, you don't have to develop Iniesta. Iniesta is unbelievable. I think this man came to us to teach us. That we always say in Barcelona that in the way that he was, the behavior of Andrés Iniesta, the way that he was training, the way that he was playing, was a lesson for the coaches every day, every moment, every single word, every single touch. That I always say that we weren't there just to teach Iniesta to become one of the best players in the world ever. I think Iniesta came in this world to help the coaches to become a better coach. That is something that people sometimes they don't understand, okay? In Barcelona is a big competition. Spain is a big country with a lot of football teams, with a lot of football licenses, and it's very difficult to play in the highest level in each category. Under 8, under 10, under 12, under 14. That means the kids, they are rise with a winning mentality and with the competitive mentality, because they have to compete every day since they are very young. That means when they are under 17, under 18, for them, they are really, really trained. They really have in their hard disk this kind of, okay, now I am ready to go to the first team. Uh-huh. And this is something that then is only about give them the opportunity. And you have to deliver the opportunity in a safe environment. You cannot give the opportunity to a young player when the team is in a bad moment, in a very difficult game, that you have to deliver this opportunity in a safe environment that that the player can have a lot of chances to have success.
But can I ask you, just that mentality with a very strong competition starting already under 8, under 10, under 12, and all so forth, that is not only for Spanish players. That is, you could say the same for Italian players, and compared to Spanish football over the last 15 years, Italian football have not produced the same quality of players yet the level of teams. So how something more must have been added to the mentality than just competitiveness.
Of course, first, the way of scouting. The way of scouting. When people ask me what is the most important that you did when I was in Football Club Barcelona, I say it's not that I did; it's what we did. Eh? Mm-hmm. We had this word, the concept "we." Eh? We always talk about "we" and not about "I." Eh? Mm-hmm. Was scouting. I think they have a really special sense to detect the talents, and also to visualize this talent, how he can be in the future. For example, I remember Guardiola was the best player when he was under 16, under 17. but he was small, and they say, okay, he only can play with juvenile B. And then when Johan Cruyff arrived, say, what happened with this player? Everybody says that he's the best. He's not playing in Barça B. He has to play in the Barça B. And he put him directly to Barça B. And after 1 year, he was playing in the first team of Football Club Barcelona. Talent is in front of physical skills. That when we scout players, we never look the physical skills. Of course, you are looking for a players who are coordinate, who are quiet, that they can move fast and they can have some agility. But especially what we're looking is a very high technical level. We were scouting players with that they were taking the best decisions as possible. And also a place who are very smart in the way to understand the game. Fast thinkers.
But how much does, that quality, to be able to evaluate, detect, as you said, detect that quality, how to read the game, it must take a clear vision of what game should be read. What is the context of the game?
Yes, it's true. It's true. But that is something that we really had in that moment, a very clear way of playing. Okay, possession football, good positions on the field, pressure after in transition attack defense, quick counterattack when we win the ball back. And if it's not possible, then we save the ball and then we take a longer ball possession and we put the team in organization again to attack by positional play. All these things were, but the way that, for example, people were asking, okay, which kind of test you do, not to select a player? And then we said, we don't do tests. We don't do tests. First, we watch the player in their teams, different people. But we get different reports from different people. And of course, inside of the club, there is always people who have a special sense to detect talents. And this kind of person, they always have an extra word. Be careful, because if Quique Costa say that, you really have to look deep, because he always is right, or at least all the time. Okay? Yeah. That there is people, it's not that everybody, if we are five people, everybody has one word, but there is people who has more respect when they talk. And these people with a lot of experience watching young players, and especially watching them to develop through the years, because it's people that they are 10, 15, 20, 30 years working in the same club. And that it gives this kind of big overview through the years. And then if you use this knowledge and this experience, you will take much more, much better decisions when you scout players. That is one of the things. But the test that we did was very simple. When you put the player, a new player, you make the 4 against 4 plus 3, and you put him as a joker in the middle. And then we put 4 or 5 coaches outside watching how he survived being a joker in the middle in 4 against 4 plus 3. How he scan, how his body shape, his technical level, if he has problems to play in one touch, to create triangles, to the body shape, all these things. And in 5 minutes, the good players, you see it in 5 minutes. And you don't need much time to make a lot of tests.
Because if you're a good player, you have a bigger vision of the game. You have the timing. You have spatial intelligence. You can see, read the room and the space. Yeah, I understand.
And if you put this player that who's coming from another club, then for sure the rhythm of the ball of the drill is much slower in their clubs. If you put him as a joker in the middle in this drill, surrounded for top players, that everything is going faster. If he can survive there, I promise you that you have big, big chances to get a good player. That is all I always say, that that was our test. Because then this player maybe will be a right back, or it will be a number 9, or it will be a number 6. Let's see. It depends also how he grows, if he will be very tall or very small or very fast, or he will be a fantastic 1 against 1. And another way to scout players, we always say, which quality this player has something really special. Is really good defender. Is a player who scores a lot of goals. He's a player who has a fantastic one against one and very fast and good crosses or assists. He's a player that never loses a ball. He's a player that always deliver 8 points. From 0 to 10, he's always 8. Very regular. That we always were looking for. Every player has to have something really special.
Yeah.
That also that, another way that we were the scouting players.
And that would decide which position he would challenge for at the end.
Yeah. No, and also what we did for a lot of times, for example, a player that everybody knows, for example, Puyol. Puyol was number 8.
He was?
Yes.
As a youth player?
Yes, until Barça B, I think he still was playing as a number 8. And at the last year of Barça B, and I think the first years in the first team of Barcelona, he started to play as a central back, as a right back, and as a central back. But all his career, he was a midfielder. But what happened, when you develop this player as a midfielder, maybe he didn't have the talent to be a midfielder in the first team of Barcelona. But he was trained in extremely conditions as a midfielder, because then you have to see the game with 360 degrees range of vision. When you put this player as a central back, then he only have to see the game in 180 degrees.
Normally,
almost at the time, hopefully. Of course, if you are in a good team, in Barcelona, it's how it happens. Barcelona.
Yeah.
Okay. In Barcelona is what it happens. And also you get more time and you get more space to play. And then maybe a player that maybe could have problems as a midfielder, when you put him in a situation as a central back, then he get all the time, and then his technical level is more than enough, and at the end he was an unbelievable player. Why? Because he had something exceptional. That was his leadership, his energy, his concentration, and his the way that he was really fighting during the game. Not because his technical level.
But thinking of Puyol and knowing what position he had in the team and after he stopped playing also in the club, I would say from all the qualities you just talked about, technical skills, the ability to watch see the pitch to 360 degrees and if he had agility and all the things, he was quite good. But for me, he stands out. I don't know him. You do. He stands out especially as a character. A character. And from all the qualities you mentioned, how would you rank or rate character as a scouting topic?
I don't know. It depends on the player.
Because
for me, Laudrup, Michael Laudrup was a top player. In Barcelona, he was a top player. Absolutely amazing. Okay, if I was really amazing to watch him playing, but I didn't think that he has a big leadership skills in the field. Leadership skills in the field, I think, are absolutely different ways of play of players like Puyol or Laudrup. Iniesta, he almost doesn't talk. But he's in the game, with the way that he plays, he's a fantastic leadership. But out of the field, he's a person, was a boy that was very quiet, very shy, very... that means first we should define what it means, character, because there are different ways to define character. The way that Puyol showed his character was with his energy, with his leadership, helping the teammates all the time, correct them, step up the team all the time with this kind of energy. But the way the leadership of Iniesta was just delivering good balls to you, just always staying in the right position. When the team was having turbulences and the team was not playing good, he always was there to get the ball and take the responsibility. It's another type of leadership. And for me, both is part of the character. But if you see Iniesta and if you see Puyol, are absolutely opposite poles when you talk about character. When I was watching them on the field, for me, both of them, they had a big character, only in different ways.
Would it be fair to if you have to put more aspects and more words in to understand character, it would be a mix of quality and consistency that you are not so easily tipped over mentally or physically in a game, that you can stay at the same level whether the game is shaky or not?
Yes, consistency, concentration. But at the end also, there are players, when it's a very important game, there are players that they are always there.
Yeah.
And there are players that when the important games are there, you cannot see them.
True.
And for me, also character is, okay, for me, player with character is when the important game is there, the players are there, that they can show all their skills. And that is something that Puyol had and Iniesta had. Even more than consistency.
Mm-hmm. But concentration is, I'm not sure I would ever understand what it takes to be concentrated on a pitch with 90,000 spectators playing for Champions League finals or whatever, because I never had that kind of experience. But I know about staying concentrated for 95 minutes, which is also quite difficult, no matter what level you're playing. But concentration, how would you explain the resilience needed, you know, the stamina, the ability to stay focused at the highest level, not influenced by whatever referee, pitch, opponent or bad passes from a teammate is influencing you. But how would you explain that quality, and how can you develop that quality of resilience and consistency?
This is something that both Iniesta and Puyol, both of them had, absolutely. They never lost they never lost the temper, almost never. And it doesn't matter what happened during the game. First, I have to believe to win concentration is first, raise your bottom level as much as possible. I can explain one thing about Iniesta, for example. There was a game that we won 6-0. And from my point of view, Iniesta played a fantastic game. But at the end of the game, I saw him sad. And then I went to him, oh, congratulations, Iniesta, what a fantastic game. He said, Albert, no, you know that was not top. Yes, come on, Iniesta, was a good game. No, I lost 3 balls.
Yeah.
He said to me, I lost 3 balls that I shouldn't. That means he can split the picture of, okay, we won 6-0. Everybody is saying me that it's fantastic. But in the other hand, I knew that I lost 3 balls that I shouldn't. And I am being very hard on myself, because if I want to play there, I need to do these things better. And that is something that in Barcelona, a lot of players, they have that they really care for the ball. They really care for every touch, for every pass, for every finishing. And I think these high-level trainings and high-level demands in every game helps them to be more concentrate. Also, because we know that the way that we wanted to play, that is positional play, having the ball, staying in positions, you really have to be concentrate. Because when you lose your concentration, the team starts to play worse.
True.
And that is something that during their careers, during the years, all the coaches, they were telling them, it doesn't matter what happened during the game, we stay in our game plan, we continue playing football, we don't lose the mind, we don't talk about the opponent, we don't talk about the supporters, we don't talk about the referee. This is something that we cannot fight against them. The only thing what we can do is to play in our way of playing. That is why we really need to keep focus. And that is something that they are developing all through the years. It's not something that you can say, okay, when they are 17, now we will help the players to be stronger, to handle the concentration in a highest level. I think it's too late.
So the culture, the everyday routines, the way you work when you are together in the club, most likely also outside the club,
yes,
would define the quality, the level of resilience, how press resilient a player could be. Is that correct? Yes. Culture, first of all.
For my point of view, yes. Sometimes when coaches talk about, for example, training, okay, in under eight, we will develop the control and the pass. And under 10, we'll start to talk about play with the third man and the deep runs and pass behind the defenders. And then under 14, we start to talk about one against one. That means they talk about, it depends of the year, we are helping them to do more things, eh? To train more things. No, in Barcelona, we didn't think it that way. We start from 8 years old to play positioning games, to play small-sided games, to play the game inside of the complexity of the game. And of course, then, every year, they are getting better. But a lot of drills that the kids were doing when they are under 8 or under 9 or under 10, for example, we talk about the 4 against 4 plus 3, this is a drill that you can do it with the team in your school. Yeah, the football team in Euro school with a very low level that everybody can play there, and you can do this drill in a Champions League level. And it's the same drill. But what it makes good the drill is the level of the players, the understanding of the drill, that every year this drill is getting better, is getting better, is getting better, is getting better. And then that allows you to make the drill in a smaller space. And when you can do it in a smaller space because your technical level is higher, your way of thinking is faster, you take better decisions, you know more what you have to do every time in attack and in defense and during the transitions, then what you have to do is make the field smaller and smaller. And then if it's smaller, the defenders can defend more aggressive. And then that forces the players outside to think faster and have better body shape, that you are growing together. And after a lot of years doing this, then it's very easy. All the players in Barcelona, when they were in Barça B and they had the chance to go to the first team, to train or play there, all of them, they were saying the same. Albert, it's much easier to play and train to the first team than in Barça B or with under 19. And the reason why is because they have better players around. That means when you receive a ball, you get a better pass with a better touch, with a better pace in the ball, in the right side of the foot, in the right timing. And also when you have the ball, you always can find a free man. That is very easy to find the free man. Yeah, it's much easier. Because you are playing with, that means with a lot of people thinks to make the last step is the most difficult one. I think it's not true. I think the last step is the easiest one. The difficult thing is to deserve to get the last step. That is the difficult thing.
That's clever. Yeah. But Albert, you talk now about players in Barcelona playing the same 4 against 4 plus 3 drills from very young age until they end their career in the first team, if they do. Is that something you find easily? No. Is that something you could see in all of the other cultures you have been, Holland, Denmark, Germany, so forth? The willingness to repeat and repeat and repeat, because, you know, back in time, some coaches, at least in Denmark, would say now, but the players would get bored and be frustrated. They'll be annoyed doing the same exercise so many times. We have to change and change and change. Is that a difference for you?
First, I disagree. That is worried. I is worried. It's absolutely very fun to play this game.
Mm.
What it makes the drill good or bad is the intensity of the drill.
Mm.
If the drill is, the rhythm is slow, the players, they don't take the drill seriously, the energy is not there, it doesn't matter which drill you will want to play, all the players will find that drill boring.
Yeah.
But if the intensity is there, I tell you, the players love it. And that is what it means to be a coach. To help the players to train in a high intensity, also that they can have fun. Fun, that means they have to smile, they have to be happy to be there, that they have to enjoy every drill, every training, But on the other hand, you have a very high demands, that it means that you need concentration, focus, high demands. Is a combination between high quality standards, but also having fun. That is one of the things when I saw, and for me to do the 4 against 4 plus 3 is not the same, because there is no, how I can say that in English, in Spanish or Catalan is much more easy.
There is not for me.
Yes, there is no, the 4 against 4 plus 3 today is not the same drill that the 4 against 4 plus 3 tomorrow. You never will get the same drill because the circumstances are different. The field, the pressure of the ball, the intensity of the player, the mentality of the players. In football, there are never two situations that they are the same. Can be situations that they are similar, but never are the same. That is why when you play 5 against 5, maybe it looks is the same drill, but at the end is not the same drill, because every day the 5 against 5 is different and you get different experiences. And that is the way that we think. We talk about, in English, is situations that you can find in the game very often. And then We try to extract these situations, and then you put them in the training, and then you train. And then when they come back to the game, because they have been training with these kind of situations that are very similar that they can find during the game, they can take better decisions, because everything is in their hard disk. And then they can just, everybody talks about, okay, first I see, then I think, I take the decision, and then I do. Okay? And in Barcelona, we say, you don't have time to think, which is the best decision. If football is, I see, I do.
Yeah, true.
There is, people talk about these 3 steps, and for us, we all say, no, this is, you see and you do. You don't have time to think in football. Of course, there are moments that you can think, but... and that is something that I didn't see too much in the other countries. The other countries, I see more that everything is more structured. Okay, in this age, this, in this age, this, and this. And in this age, we talk a lot about mentality and concentration. And in this age, it's only about having fun, enjoying. In this age, it's more about just having a lot of experience, touching a lot of times the ball. In this period of the year, is about analytic, a lot of skills with the ball. It's much more a structure to be sure that when they will arrive under 16 or under 17, they trained everything.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in that.
No.
I think you have to train everything from the beginning, every year. But of course, every year it will be more complex because they will know more about the game. That is why I think that you can train positioning games from the beginning. A lot of clubs, they say, no, you have to start to play positioning games after 12 years old. And I say, why?
But would you?
And then they say, I want to say this. And then they say, Truls, they say, Albert, it's too difficult for them when they are under 8 or under 10. I say, too difficult for who? For the team who is having the ball, or for the players who are defending? Or is it difficult for the coach to help the players to do that drill? And also, I always say, listen, if a kid can learn Chinese in 3 years old, I think they can understand that when the ball is there, you have to put your body shape lateral and you can pass the ball to the inside of the right foot when they are 8 or 9 years old. I think, maybe I am wrong, but if a kid can learn Chinese when they are 3 years old, sometimes we subestimate the players and sometimes we subestimate the way of learning of the players.
Yeah. But when do you start playing 11 against 11 in the best, in your perspective?
For me, now they start until under 12, they are playing 7 against 7.
Yeah.
Okay, that means they start under 13.
Yeah,
if it's for me, if it's for me, I would like to start a little bit earlier.
Yeah,
for me, it's a little bit too late. And I'm not a big fan of 9 against 9. And I'm neither a big fan of 7 against 7. The good thing of 7 against 7 is that they touch the ball more times, eh? And that, sure. and that is good, no? But I'm a big fan of 11 against 11. And if I could choose, I would let us to start under 12 already, 11 against 11. Mm. But this is my impression. I don't know if I am right. It's only for me, when I saw my son playing against, 7 against 7 under 12, I could feel that the field was too small for him. The combinations between players, there is only 7 players on the field. I was missing players to make more. I was missing complexity with a 7 against 7 under 12.
And the funny thing is, if you ask the players, they would like to play 11 versus 11 earlier as well. But that's my experience, at least.
They always give us the answer, the players.
Mm, yeah. So be careful what you ask.
Yes, absolutely.
I think some of the things you... This, I really enjoy this, Albert. You should know, and I hope people listening to this podcast would do the same, because there's a lot of knowledge pouring out from your talk now. And what you said about the scouting is depending on the quality of the full picture. I mean, if you know what style you're scouting for, scouting is easy. I remember you once said to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it's easier to scout good players for Football Club Barcelona, even if it's the highest possible level in the world, than it is to scout for Espanyol, your neighbors in Barcelona, because Espanyol changed the way of playing every year.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think that's a big lesson for everybody working in football, because, you know, sometimes you bring in new people with a lot of new ideas and it will set back everybody in the club. I tried that. I did the same mistake, but even if I still would have done the same in Brøndby, when the style was changed and all the hard work you put into it and a lot of quality work from other coaches as well were suddenly less important, because the style should be completely different. And when you do that, you're actually butchering every training for the under 12, 13, 14, whatsoever, for the next 4 or 5 years. And therefore, I understand what you told me about easier scouting in Football Club Barcelona than in Espanyol.
And also, Truls, because when you are training in the same football philosophy, you know, okay, I will need a left back. Okay, there is a left back in Barça B. There is a left back. Is there a left back in under 19? Is there a left back in under 17? And then the coaches say, listen, in under 7, there is a fantastic left back who is coming. In under 12, there is a top level left back. And then you can make provisions for the future, because you know that in 2 years, there is a fantastic left back coming from the youth academy, and then you can give him the opportunity. That is one thing. And then maybe you only have to focus in 2 or 3 positions, because you know in the youth academy, you will not get a good number 9 in the next 4 years, because the coaches tell you that there is not a top player for the first team of Barcelona in the youth academy in the next 4 years. Okay, then you have to put focus to find this kind of player, because you know that in the next years it will not come from the youth academy. That is much easier also for the sports director to make a scouting, because he has less focus.
but still... I do understand, and I think that's really, really, really important. But still, my experience is, and I have the impression it's more general than just my experience. The younger the players are, the more likely it is that the coaches will say he is a future top player. I mean, I've seen, let's say, left backs being praised for the incredible talent when they're 12, 14, 16. As they turn 17, 18 and are closer to the senior level of age, then all of a sudden he's not that big a talent. Could be that it's so difficult, or it could also be because now it's my hands is really on the stove, if you understand what I mean. It's really now I put in all my quality as a coach, if I still recommend this one, because now it's getting close for the decision.
It depends, Truls. It depends of the standards, the higher standards, of coaches who are giving that opinion.
Yeah. and experience.
And experience. That is why, for example, maybe a young coach with 20 years old or 19 years old, that he's the second year that he's training and 12 years old, he can say, this is the best player in my team. But I think it's very difficult for him to tell, he for sure will be a professional player in Football Club Barcelona, because he doesn't know the higher standards or the high demands that you need in the first team of Barcelona. And that is why in football, a lot of people are giving their opinion, but they don't have the knowledge to give that opinion. That is why it's very important in the clubs, when there are coaches in the club that they stay there for 20 years, 25 years, listen to these coaches, respect them. They have a lot of knowledge and their worth should be more important. And that is something sometimes the young coaches, they don't understand that. They just think that they work harder and they are smarter, they know more the technology, and they think that the old coaches, they are from another era and they shouldn't be there because they are too old. And this is a big mistake.
Yeah.
Of course, you have to find the combination. I think there is a space for everybody, but your young coaches who are pushing to put the club in another level in different areas, and then you have to use all the knowledge from the coaches with experience. And the combination, I think, is the secret. But when we talk about this, when we talk about the scouting, I tell you, I will listen more the coaches with a lot of experience training young players, because my experience says maybe they don't know anything about computers, maybe cannot write a fantastic report. But I had one coach in Barcelona, Quique Costas. He worked 30 years in Barcelona. I say, listen, if one day I come back to the youth academy, and now I know you are old and now you are retired, but I will sign you again and I will put a share. And every time you see a good player, just give me one signal with your head. And for me, that is enough.
Yeah.
That is why sometimes a lot of people say, oh, this, it will be a fantastic player, but they don't know what it means. But professional, because they have not been there.
True. And they have not seen hundreds of players trying to do the same thing.
Absolutely. For example, Truls, you have been a coach in Superliga. Okay? You know what Superliga means. You know the demands of Superliga. That means when you see a younger player, for you it will be easier because you know. And I tell you one thing is, because in Barcelona we had the chance, the possibility to stay there for a lot of years. When Johan Cruyff was there, he was 8 years. Also Guardiola, a lot of years. And there was a lot of coaches that they were in the club for 10, 15, 20 years. What happened is when you have conversations talking about this player has chances to be in the first team, they really are very accurate. And they really have high rating. They don't make this kind of mistakes. Usually when they say this player have the chance to be a professional player in Barcelona, I remember when we were talking about Thiago Alcantara, we say he will be top player. Iniesta, Busquets, a lot of these players, we met them when they were young. And I know all the meetings that we had talking about them, and all the coaches, almost all of them, not all of them, because always there is a person that maybe say no, but they really were aligned and they really knew which kind of skills needs a player to arrive in the first team. And that is only about experience.
So scouting is so important, not only in players, but also in coaches, because you need coaches that understand the vision of the game, and the mission of the club when you hire him. Otherwise, he might have the second opinion on everything, right?
Yeah, I think it's even more difficult to scout coaches than players.
Yeah, and history shows that.
Absolutely. I think it's even more important to have a very predefined profile for each team, which kind of coach you want, when they are under 8, under 10, under 12. The way that we did it in Barcelona was under 8, under 10, under 12, we were looking more from coaches from the university. with this kind of other, as the teachers, that they have the passions to take care of the kids, to treat them well, to talk with the parents. And then under 15, under 16, under 17, we were watching for coaches that they had the experience in the first division, in the first team of Barcelona, if it's possible, that they can deliver to the players all these small things that you never will find in the books. Eh? All these small details that you never will find in the books. I don't know why people say the small details, because they are very important, very big.
Yeah, that's what makes it details.
that is what makes the difference. And also, but even now you say, okay, now, Albert, you are saying a contradiction. You are talking that experience is very important. And when there are under 8, under 10, under 12, you are looking for younger coaches. And then I say, yes, but also the head of coordinator was a man with a lot of experience. The head of coaching, the head of scouting, a man with a lot of experience. The scouters who were selecting the players for that ages, people with a lot of experience, was a combination.
Yeah. But the crazy thing is, because it makes so much sense what you're talking about, also the consistency with youth coaches being there for many years, being able to evaluate much more accurate, and the idea of the club, how to play and so forth. But if I'm looking back on your time in professional football, you had the 7 years with the academy as head of mythology. Then 3 years Vitesse.
4 years. 4 years.
Four years. But with how many? Five head coaches?
Yes.
Within that time?
Four coaches.
Four. I count Stanley Menso as one game coach. Maybe that's not correct.
Very fan of mine.
Okay.
We were together. And then, we were together the 4 years. We were together.
Yeah? Oh, I see. Okay.
Me and him.
Good. And then when you went to Israel, it was 1 year? Dortmund?
Yeah, but you have to understand what happened in my life, okay?
Yeah, I would like to.
I was ready to stay more than 4 years in Vitesse. I was very happy there. When my family was enjoying the life there, everything was going fantastic. But what happened is our sports director had to stop the job.
Ted van Leeuwen?
Ted van Leeuwen had to stop the job.
We know him in Espia.
Yes, I know. He had to stop the job. And then a lot of people had to stop the job. It was a different way of leading the club between Chelsea and Vitesse, because we had Chelsea was the big club behind Vitesse. And there was a moment that we were leading the Eredivisie. We were in the first position around Christmas, more or less. And then a lot of things changed inside of the club, because Chelsea wanted Vitesse to go in a different way. Mm. And after 4 years working very hard inside of the club, now I had the chance to win the competition in Eredivisie. And then the club changed the direction, and that frustrated me a lot. And then is when Bromby came, and that is what I decided to go to Bromby. Of course, also in Bromby, the things changed, but that is the reason. But I was ready to stay more time in Vitesse. In Bromby, you know the story. I'm not the right person to talk about it. Okay, I had a nice time. For me, you learn from every experience, and if I have to take the decision, I will do it again. No problem at all. That means I have a big respect for Bromby, for everybody there, for Thomas Frank, for everybody. It was a nice time for me. Sometimes it was tough, but it was a nice time for me. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't bring on the table all the ideas that I thought I was able to do, at least that what I was taught. Okay. And of course, it's also maybe my mistake, because maybe I was not good enough to convince people to do it in the way that we decide to go when they contract me. Okay. But you know, football, things change in 1 week. True. And there is a lot of things that you cannot control. And at the moment that this happened in Bromby, then we had to adapt every week, every month, just to try to help the team and to handle the situation. And that is what we tried. Okay. Then I was to Maccabi Tel Aviv, and I was there because Jordi Cruyff asked me to go there as assistant coach, and I had to leave my family. And I tell you, I was ready after Bromby to go back home and develop my company and my business.
But, which is, you should explain to the listener what company that is.
Yes, I will do at the end. And I went to Maccabi Tel Aviv just to give a favor, to help Jordi Cruyff to be a coach and to help him at the beginning of his career. His father was my inspiration, is my biggest mentor. And that is the way that was something that when I arrived there was something that I already knew that I only will be there for 10 months. Yeah. Was a beginning and a starting. Say, I go this year and then I come back home no matter what. Then I say, when I left Israel, he said to me, Albert, you will not go home. I say, yes, I will. No, you will not go home, because he already knew that I was going to join Borussia Dortmund because Peter Voss told him.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. That means I arrive home, I say to my wife, okay, now we can set our life here in Barcelona. And after 2 days, I received the call from Borussia Dortmund.
And then, tough wife you have.
No, but it's how it is. For me, the family is really important. And the thing was, in Borussia Dortmund was the most beautiful experience in my life. And I also had the hardest time in my life. And was in these 6 months, I think is the period that I learned the most. Even more than 7 years in Barcelona. We were the best team in Europe. We were leading the Bundesliga, and then we had a very tough period with the Champions League, playing every 3 games. We had a lot of injuries and also a lot of players from the last season that they could not join us, like Marco Reus or Götze, Kagawa, Weigl, all these players, all of them, they were injured. That means they couldn't join the team because from a long injuries from the last season, like Guerreiro as well. That means we knew that the team was not so strong. We were leading the competition. We were playing fantastic football. We were really happy. And then in 1 month, everything changed. In 1 month, we start to lose a game. We start to get injuries. And we had to play very tough games in the highest level. In Real Madrid Stadium, in Santiago Bernabeu, in Wembley against Tottenham, very tough games, and we couldn't survive. And in these big teams, something that I learned, in the big teams you have to win. And that is why for me was the toughest time in my life, but also the nicest time in football. And I was really, really happy. And then I went to China because I want to go home again. I couldn't.
it's like the Odyssey, Odysseus traveling back from Troya.
And then I went to China, and Jordi got a team in China, in Chongqing, 30 million population in the middle of China, and say, Albert, I need your help again. It's a new country. It's a big country. Only special coaches can train here. They have selected me to, and I want you to join the project with me because you know me, you know how I think, and was only for 3-4 months. Was a very difficult challenge, very brave for Jordi Cruyff to take that team, because in that moment the team was losing. They already lost 15 games in a row or 16 games in a row. And then he say, listen, but you know what? And I say, Albert, we will save the team. Don't worry. But you have to join me. And we did it. I think we won 5 games, we draw 5, and we lost 5 in the next 15 games, and we saved the team. But I say, I only will be here for 3 months, and at the end of the season, I come back. I don't want to think about money. I only want to think to come back to Barcelona, that please, when we will save the team, please don't give me another offer, because what I wanted is to develop my company, to coach football coaches around the world, to stay with my family, with my kids, because I missed them a lot all these years that I was abroad. Of course, they joined us in some projects in Germany, in Holland, and in Denmark, but not in Israel or China, or even the first year in Holland, they were not there. And I thought was the last years that my kids will be at home, and I want to be next to them. And that is why I had a very strong decision. But then Danish Federation came, and they said, they did. And they said, okay, if I can train the national team and I still can keep my business rolling, and if we can make this good combination, okay, I am ready for that. And at the moment, it is working well. I am very happy, very satisfied with the decision that I took.
And the business you're running is about educating coaches all around the world, correct?
It's an online platform. It's an online platform. I think I already can tell you the name of the platform will be Cruyff Football by Albert Capellas. I have the rights from the family Cruyff to be inspired with Johan Cruyff to help to develop the coaches of the future. You know, Johan Cruyff was a very modern coach. Eh? He was a man who inspired a lot of coaches, a man who changed the game. And we want to use all this kind of knowledge to help the next coaches to go to the next level. And at the moment, the name of the website is possessionfootball.com. And we will launch it the 22nd of October. It will be launched officially. And what I did in that platform is put all my knowledge, all my experience, that to help the coaches to understand the game, to know better the drills, how they can coach better every drill with all these small details that they should know to help the players to become a better player. But only based in possession football, that all these drills that I've been using in Barcelona, in Holland, in Denmark, in Germany, that for me, they are the best drills. They can find them, they can watch them, they can. We make a lot of two dimensions, we draw a lot. And it's like a teacher 7 days a week and 24 hours every day because they can be connected. And it's a platform for inspiration in the way of training, also in the way of playing. How, in which things you have to focus if you want to play positional play, and in which things how you should train if you want to play this kind of football, is something that it will be alive the 22nd of October. All this year I had some beta tester clubs and some coaches that they do the beta test, and now it will be open for everybody, and I'm very proud of that, and I hope we can help coaches around the world, because it's a tool that I would love to have it when I was younger.
I can understand. Yeah. But you had Cruyff alive at that time.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I was watching every day. I was 2, 3, 4 days per week watching the trainings of Johan Cruyff. I was there every day before I was going to the university. I was there every day. The doors were open and nobody was going to watch the trainings was open and nobody was there. And I was there almost every day. That means I really felt that I was watching something special, that I was living something special. And I say, I want to be inspired as much as I can from this kind of... I always say when I was watching these positioning games, the 4 against 4+3 that we were talking before, the rhythm of the ball, the passion of the player, the high level in this small space, the pace on the ball, the rhythm was absolutely unbelievable to get this feeling, this experience in this so high level. And I did 4 years. And that is why when Jordi Cruyff saw the platform and we talk about what we can do, and he say, Albert, let's go. I think this is something that I can recognize a lot of things of the way of thinking of my father, because everything comes from there. Even the high pressure that everybody talks about the high pressure and the transition, fast transition, was already in 74 with the mechanical orange or a lot of things are coming from that period. And but now they are coming back more and more and more and more.
And to be able to predict the development of football, it takes a really, really detailed knowledge of what football can be. And I really admire your passion for the football. As I just the fact when you talk about inspiration, and I listen to the almost love in your voice when you talk about this one drill, 4 against 4 plus 3. The amount of love you put into that drill could only be pure passion, Albert. But no, I'm really, really impressed by that.
Phil, I tell you one thing, Truls. If I have to choose only one drill from all the drills that I did in my life, if I only can choose one drill and they say,
oh, I have a guess. I know which one.
Yes, because in this drill, there is everything. 90% what it happened in football is inside of that drill. 90%.
I think also the goals? Sorry, also the goals?
Because you have one variation that you can put 2 goals and then even you can finish with shooting. But I do very few times with the goals. I remember one thing that is a very nice, I think for the audience, they will like that one. I remember when Tato Martino was in the first team of Barcelona, Tata Martino. Mm-hmm. And there was Paco Seirulo, this physical coach, this mentor, was my mentor for a lot of years, a very interesting person. If one day you can have him in your podcast, you will love it. The thing is, the players, they wanted to do the 4 against 4 plus 3. They were asking, Tata Martino, we are not doing the 4 against 4 plus 3. This is Barcelona. This is the positional game that we want to do, and we love it, and we need to do it because it's our game. And Tata Martino was doing another drills. And one day, finally, he said, this kind of Monday is that half of the team are in one side and the other half of the team are in the other side, the players who played and the players who didn't play, the reserve players. And then they say, okay, now you can do this drill that you love so much. And then they did the 4 against 4 plus 3, and Tato Martino was next to Paco Seirulo. And after the drill was finished, he said, I have to admit that there is 2 or 3 things that I love from this game. And then Paco Seirulo turned his head and said to him, Tata, not 2 or 3, there are hundreds.
Yeah.
But so from that moment, they started to do it.
Tata had to learn.
No, it's culture. It's different culture. It's something that I learned when we were traveling around the world, that first, I was a man from Barcelona who was trying to put my ideas in another country. But after traveling a lot, now I am a man. When I arrive in a country, first I listen, I watch, I try to understand all the things that they are doing really well. And then I have to think how I can bring my knowledge to make the way of thinking that they have in football to make it, to help them to make it better.
So it's not a one-fit-all solution. No. You don't bring just the principles.
No.
Yeah, and that maybe is the strongest quality of all the qualities you possess. So for the Danish under 21 national team, I would not ask you to predict how it's going to be. I would not ask you to predict what players will develop into A national team players. I know you have the ideas, but the general quality of Danish football at this moment compared to all the other nations you have been to, which part would be the stronger part of Danish football? And maybe if you have the courage, which part would be the weaker side of Danish football?
Okay. That is not an easy question, but I will try to answer. Okay.
Thank you.
First, if you see the results of the national teams of Denmark, under 15, under 16, under 18, under 20, from the last 2 or 3 years, they are really doing very, very well in Europe. Very, very well, very good. And that is a really big sign that the way that Danish football is developing is in the right direction. In the federation, of course, but also in the clubs, because at the end, from the federation, you receive the players from the clubs. Okay? That means the clubs, every time they are doing the way that they develop the players, are getting better and better and better. One of the things that I see in Denmark is that they talk a lot about the game and they have a lot of discussions about of the game. And they really try to help each other and to have conclusions using the knowledge of the group and not the knowledge of only one person. Because I always say that 2 plus 2 is not two coaches is not 4 coaches, it's 8 coaches. If you put all the knowledge and the discussions together, the result is not 4, it's 8. Okay, it's exponential result. And I think that is something that Danish football is trying to do. Talk a lot about the game, talk a lot about study the way that in the other countries they are developing the game. They are very open to get new ideas. They are trying to learn from the best teams, from the best coaches. And that is, I think this is something because Denmark is not a big country. It's only 5.5 million population, more or less. And it's a small country. And they know that they really have to look outside. And that is also why in Denmark you don't have any problem to talk in English, because everybody talks English in Denmark, because they know that they have to learn English to get to be connected with the other countries around the world. And this open mind, okay, I think is one of the things that are making the difference. That a small country can have a success. That is one of the keys of success. Second thing is players in Denmark, they can play with the first team in a very young age. That means the Superliga deliver the opportunity to the young players. If you have talent, you will get the chance to play in the first team very early. You don't have to wait until 22 or 23. Iniesta started to play regularly in the first team when he was 23 years old. Okay? But in Denmark, if you have a big talent, you can see players with under 17 years old, 18 years old, 19 years old, that they are already playing regularly in the first team. And that is very nice. The problem in Denmark is they don't have the money. They don't have the competition is not strong enough because the country is smaller to fight against the big leagues and against the big clubs. That means for them it's very difficult to keep the talent in the country. And because they cannot pay the salaries, they cannot deliver. It's not the same to play, to play in Belgium or to play in Austria or to play in Denmark, that are fantastic countries, that to play in Premier League or La Liga or Serie A or even Eredivisie, okay? And that is one of the things that is more difficult to help the Superliga to grow because it's very difficult to keep the talent from Denmark.
But back in time, you used to say it's a better education for young players to play, say, in Eredivisie, in Ajax, as many players did in the past,
yes,
than in the Danish Super League. So they would develop faster. And if you see it, many of the players you have in your team now, they also, many of them left Denmark quite early. And maybe that helped them to have the level to play well for you. I don't know.
Oh, maybe because what happened with a player like maybe a top talent in Denmark when he's under 16 is a top talent, but still is a big difference between him and his teammates. But when this top talent goes to Ajax, he's playing surrounded from a top talents like him.
Yeah.
That means the level of the training, what happened, is higher. The level of the competition is higher. Not only in Ajax when they train in Ajax, also when they compete with the other teams. Because the country in Holland, for example, is double than Denmark, is 17 million population in Holland. That means the competition is bigger. And that also makes when you play games every weekend, you always get stronger opponents. And that also it helps you to develop faster.
True.
But that is my way of thinking. And again, a top talent in Denmark, because all the scouts are in Denmark, you know, when you go to Bromby, to FC Copenhagen, to FC Nordsjælland, they are there.
True, true.
They are there. What happened when a top talent is there, you already can see it when he's under 15, under 16, under 17. And the big clubs, they come with the money, they convince the parents, they convince the football agent, they convince the player. That means the top talents, is very difficult for them to play in Superliga because the big clubs, they already pick up them before.
True. And right now in your team, you have players, quite a lot of them actually are playing in the Danish best league, but some are playing abroad still, like in Italy or Austria, Germany, and Holland as well, right? Yeah. So players are leaving Denmark quite early, and that's a difficulty for the team, but not for the player.
When you talk about difficult for the team,
I said it's more difficulty for the team than for the player that the players have to leave quite early. The players would still have a good development.
One of the things that it happened when a player from Denmark they go to play abroad is when a club has a top talent player, they protect them a lot because they know that they have a very good talent player and they don't want to lose them. They want to offer the best of them because they want to help them as much as, and sometimes this is a very good thing, but sometimes it's not, because they are rising in an environment that they are really protected. But when they go outside, they don't feel this protection anymore. They don't feel that protection anymore. And I tell you, for a Danish player to have success in Italy, in Portugal, Greece, or even Spain is so hard, because there is nothing about, I will protect you, I will help you. No, there is, or you perform or you are out. Because behind you, there are three players more that they are pushing.
Yeah, true. And so the competition is too low and the protection is too high.
But this is because it's a small country.
True.
I don't blame them. You understand?
I understand.
It's the situation that the competition, because it's a small country, is more difficult to make a difficult environment for players, and also is very difficult for the Superliga and for the first division to make a very strong competition, because the best players have to leave the country earlier.
Yeah. And therefore, we need international experience to help us, because best players are leaving too early. We need help from the outside. And that is exactly what you're doing now with the Danish Under 21 national team. And what you also have done now even more than an hour, Albert, for this this podcast. And whoever is listening now should be aware that this last 73 minutes are definitely some of the highest quality I've had of football discussion in quite some times. So, Albert Capellas, thank you a lot for your experience and your sharing of experiences with us. The quality is high, and therefore I would say a very high thankful thank you to you as well, if that's correct English. Albert, I wish you so much success with the Danish Under 21 national team and with your new company. And the 22nd of October, you said, we have the launch of the website?
Yes.
I wish you all best luck for that as well. Albert, all the best from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Truls, to invite me. It has been a pleasure. For me, I'm very happy in Denmark. I always had a wonderful time, even sometimes have been difficult. And even one time you had to fire me. But, you know, we talk. It's nothing that we had a very good relation, even the day that you had to fire me. And I respect that, and that is maybe why still, after the years, still we can have a very good relation. And I really love what you are doing with your podcast to help the coaches to become better.
Well spoken, and thank you for that, my friend. And for everybody listening in Danish, tak fordi I har lyttet med. Næste uge er der igen Bæk bag bolden, og hvis I vil have indflydelse på, hvad vi snakker om og hvem jeg snakker med, er I mere end velkommen til at skrive på www.trusbæk.com. Vi høres ved.